If you have a Bible, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we will read from verse 4, just verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. This is God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege again that you've given to us to meet around your word. And as we do that, we pray that you will show us again what it means to know Christ and what that means even as we think about being anxious. We pray that our souls might be still as we focus on you. Father, please speak to us. This is your word and we want to hear from you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. If you are a Lion King fan, you will know the phrase Hakuna Matata. It's a wonderful phrase. It means no worries for the rest of your life. It's our problem-free philosophy. Wow. Care-free living. What a thought. For many of us, if not all of us, this idea of carefree living appears totally out of reach. Anxiety is a word that will be familiar to all of us, but a word that will have different meaning to each of us. Anxiety is really a fear, being fearful of something or someone. Anxiety can sometimes come when we desire something, but there's a threat that comes in the way of us getting that desire. We can torment ourselves with, what if this doesn't happen, or what if this does happen? We can feel anxious about many things, about workload, about a difficult relationship. We may feel anxious about someone we love getting sick, or even dying. We may feel anxious about our role as a spouse or a parent. For some of us, it may be just one circumstance that causes us to feel anxious, and once that is dealt with, we feel much better. We feel more what our normal is. For others, they may feel anxious all of the time about most things. And once one thing is sorted, they just go on to feeling anxious about another thing. And others will be somewhere perhaps in between those two. And the things people are anxious about and the level of strength and anxiety will vary between people. And I'm sure you know that anxiety combined with depression is the most common mental illness and amounts for a lot of sick leave within the workplace. And as people experience anxiety in different ways, causes of anxiety will be different, and also solutions to improvement will be different. And my goal this morning is not really to give lots of information on anxiety, although that certainly has a place for us. But as we come to conclude our month of prayer, I want us to think about how Paul speaks about this in the context of prayer. But before we do that, I just simply want to recognize, as maybe I already have done, that we all experience anxiety at some point or other. And for those who experience anxiety daily and perhaps more aggressively, we could say, I simply want you to know that that is recognized and the Lord wants to speak to you in that. Anxiety and fear are often mentioned in the Bible. There seems to be the presumption that as people, we will experience anxiety. And so the Lord speaks to us in that, wants to change us through that, and wants to bring us to a place of having less anxiety. Let's read again what God's word says in Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For some of you, when you hear those words, it feels lovely. For others, perhaps it doesn't feel much more than Hakuna Matata. For your experience of anxiety, you would love it to be this simple, but really it feels unrealistic, idealistic, and a bit of a faraway dream. If you're feeling one of these two things, or again, perhaps something in between, what I hope from this morning is that you will strive towards a greater experience of this truth, which I'm sure many of us already know very well. So how do we go about praying when we feel anxious? I'm going to take four headings this morning, just directly from the text. So firstly, rejoice in the Lord always. Then let your reasonableness be known to all. And do not be anxious about anything. And let your requests be known to God. So firstly, rejoice in the Lord always. The emphasis here, as we thought about this very briefly at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, is rejoicing in the Lord. And this is the key thing. Philippians is a remarkably optimistic letter when we consider Paul's circumstance. At times, I find it actually uncomfortable to read because it forces me to realign my perspective and take my focus away from me and my circumstances and redirect that to the Lord. Paul was writing from prison in Rome. Execution was likely. He's pretty alone. He's been let down by fellow believers. There are those preaching from mixed motives. There's disunity within the church. But let's listen to some things that he says in this letter. He says in chapter 1:12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Or 1:18, he says, yes, and I will rejoice with your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Again, chapter 3:1, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. In 3:14, Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In 3:20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Paul rejoices in the Lord, not because his circumstances are favorable, but because of who the Lord is and what he is doing. Paul's goal was to honor Christ. His life was defined by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is advancing. God is doing it. It will be done. For Paul, that's the important thing. So provided that is happening, and it is, that is certain, Paul will rejoice in the Lord because of what he is doing in this world. Paul's aim is that the gospel will advance. His end in life is heaven, so he will rejoice. His joy does not come from circumstances. I'm sure he felt pretty miserable with his circumstance, perhaps physically, but he still rejoices in the Lord, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. And I think this comes uncomfortable to us because often our rejoicing is defined and therefore confined by circumstances, by failures, by disappointments, perhaps by lack of achievement or progress and success, perhaps by lack of recognition. If we are to rejoice in the Lord, we need to take our minds off ourselves and our circumstances and onto the Lord and what he is doing in this world. So rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your reasonableness or let your gentleness be known to everyone. Be reasonable with each other. Paul has just addressed Euodia and Syntyche, who they were disagreeing. And he says, be reasonable with each other. Don't get caught up in things that aren't important. And again, bearing in mind Paul's own circumstances, he acts as an example of this. If you notice the opening prayer in the letter, his focus is straight to the believers, thanking God for them, concerned for their spiritual well-being. He was thankful for his imprisonment because it has encouraged others. Paul would rather be with Christ, but he's happy to remain because it will be better for them. Paul could have been doing with Epaphroditus staying with him much more than the church could have been doing with him, but for their sake and for the sake of Epaphroditus, he sent him back. And when the Philippians sent help to Paul, he was more glad because it showed there was fruit in their life than he was about the fact he had received help. And even when he came to address Euodia and Syntyche, there was a lot he could have said that would have just drew attention to himself. But rather, he said very little, just encouraging them to agree and getting others to help. He was understanding and reasonable with them. So we see Paul's focus first goes to the Lord, and then because it is on the Lord, his focus then goes to others. And this other-centered approach comes from a life that is focused on Christ. That passage in chapter 2 where Paul says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So often when we're feeling anxious or worried, it often brings our thinking and our focus very, very inward. Our world becomes more narrow and our problems become all consuming. And for those of us who are feeling very anxious, I want to recognize again and be very clear, I am very aware there are many, many factors at play. I am aware it is not as simple as focus on the Lord, focus on other people, and perhaps get over yourself. I want to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. But I do believe that we can still strive to put our focus to the Lord and to others. Because often when we become more aware of the needs of others, our own needs become less in our minds. Often when we become consumed with our own worries is when we become unreasonable with other people. We can begin to think that people are there to serve me and meet my needs rather than thinking, how can we look to the needs of others? Rejoice in the Lord. Let your reasonableness be known to all. Thirdly, do not be anxious about anything. It's interesting, in this letter, Paul refers to both himself and Epaphroditus as being anxious and experiencing anxiousness. There's that recognition that as human beings and even as God's people whose life is in Christ, we will be anxious. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything. I think often we can read this and think, well, this doesn't really help me that much. I know I'm not meant to be anxious, and you've just told me not to be anxious. It's not really helping me. But notice the words just before that. The Lord is at hand. There is a unique opportunity presented to us when we feel anxious to experience and know the Lord's closeness in a really special way. As you said, Paul and Epaphroditus were anxious. So when Paul says this, don't be anxious about anything, he's not pointing the finger. And he's not somehow scolding these believers, saying, you know, don't be anxious. Just stop being anxious. And I think I've often read this with that tone. It's not so much stop being anxious, but more he's coming alongside. He's helping them to see the Lord is at hand. So listen, don't be anxious. The Lord is at hand. If you think of Jesus teaching his disciples in Luke 12, he begins, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. And then towards the end of that little bit, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. The language is so caring and tender. Remember how we thought of God as our Father from Luke 11 a couple of weeks ago? And that teaching just keeps continuing on to Luke 12. God as our Father will give us what we need and what is for our good. Paul says to the Philippians, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To your God and Father be glory forever and ever. Rejoice in the Lord. God, your Father, will give you what you need. So don't be anxious about anything. The Lord is at hand. Literally, the Lord is near. The Lord is present with you in your anxious feelings. Know that he is there. He is caring for you. He is providing for you. He is protecting you. When you're feeling most vulnerable, the Lord's at hand. So don't be anxious about anything. Trust him. I often refer to Psalm 56, where David's physical life was at risk. And he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. What can flesh do to me? And he goes on, this I know, that God is for me. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, and this brings us to our fourth point, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. In other words, pray. Don't be anxious. Instead, pray. And this is now more than the knowing the Lord's presence in anxiety. It's now moving us to a place where we can have less anxiety. The goal here is to turn to the Lord. Do you know, there's nothing like feeling anxious or worried or fearful that makes us realize we need the Lord's help. And let's not be stubborn to recognize that and to recognize our weakness. In 1 Peter, we read, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." And again, we see that idea of God caring for us. And as we recognize our neediness, our need of God, and we turn to him and we cast all on him and we know his care and his closeness, perhaps that is the first step and the beginning of trying to relieve our anxieties. Supplication is essentially a help me prayer. Do this with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving that God will meet all your needs, that he is with you, that you can know his care and closeness. And perhaps even as our anxieties become less, we may find ourselves more and more in supplication for others. You see, when we feel anxious, the Lord should be our first response. And to help us turn to the Lord, we have each other. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you're feeling anxious to speak to your brother or sister about this. And if someone speaks to you, simply reassure them, the Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious. Let's bring this to the Lord. Let's pray about this together. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. It is in praying to God that we experience God's peace. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." You see, the world would have said to Paul, "When you get released, then you can have peace." And perhaps the world says to us, when your work situation is better, or when all that you're fearing is sorted and settled, then you can have peace. But the trouble with that is that peace never comes, because there's always something else to disrupt our peace. See, the peace that God gives surpasses understanding and even logic at times. It's not dependent on any circumstances getting better. Do you know when something's weighing heavy on your mind? Say you have a deadline or an exam, or say someone is sick and that seems to just override everything else in your mind, and in a sense it seems to cloud everything else in your life. But then once that deadline is over, or once that exam is done, perhaps that person is well again, there's a sense of relief. There is a peace. You're able then to view everything differently. You're able to think more rationally about all things. Because that which was causing you to be most anxious has been taken away. Can you imagine if you were enemies of God, knowing that you will one day face his judgment and punishment, and there was absolutely nothing you could do to stop that happening? Can you imagine how this would loom over you and cloud everything else and override any other anxiety you may have. Romans 5, Paul says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to earth and took God's judgment and punishment for us. He gave us peace with God. He has given us a peace that the world cannot give us. And surely just knowing we have eternal peace with God changes how we view those other things that we may be anxious about. This peace will guard. This peace will protect. This peace will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It cannot be taken away from us. It is not dependent on whether or not our requests are granted to us, but is dependent on Jesus Christ. So when we're feeling anxious, it can cause us to feel desperate and helpless. I think this feeling gives us just a small indicator of just how helpless and desperate we were spiritually before the Lord because of our sin. But praise God, we can look to Christ. We can breathe a sigh of relief. Our sins are forgiven. We have peace with him. If you do not know the peace that Christ can bring, can I encourage you to humble yourself? To recognize that you need Christ for forgiveness of sins and peace with God. And know a peace that the world cannot give you. If you are trusting in Christ, then rejoice in the Lord. Let your reasonableness be known to all. Don't be anxious. Let your requests be known to God. This is not a Hakuna Matata theory. It's not a four-step formula to anxiety-free life. We know there are a few quick fixes as we press on in the Christian life. But let's do just that. Let's press on. Let's strive to reorientate our focus and perspective. Let's continue to rejoice in God, in his control, in his salvation, in his care and protection. Let's commit to looking to the needs of others. And let's not be weary of praying. Let's not be weary of bringing our requests again and again and again and again before him and longing to experience his peace. Let us pray together.